Thank you, Jerry. Joe, we will talk to you tomorrow afternoon. Blue Jays will try to bounce back from this. They're 2-3 on the homestand after a 1-6 road trip. And again, running out a lineup that includes just three players who they expected to be in their starting lineup on a regular basis this season. With injuries and poor performance, the issues, the Blue Jays are having a really rough time right now. 19-25, they fall to, and it looks as though they're going to drop to 5.5 games out of first place in the AL East. Tampa Bay Rays leading Oakland 4-1 as they play in the top of the eighth. It is time for Blue Jays talk. Lines are open at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls along the network just for a few minutes, and then on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, right up until 11 o'clock Eastern Time. Let's lead things off with Don in Toronto. Don, you're first up. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
For taking my call, Mike.
Thanks. Go ahead.
I've been listening to your show for lots of years, and I'm such a fan of yours. I think you've got a great insight into the team and the game, and just love listening to you. But the other night you said something that really got to me, and I kind of, you said, you know, I don't know what it's like to cover a team that's in a pennant race. I don't know what it's like to cover a team that's in the playoffs or you know, on the verge of the playoffs or this or that. And as much as I feel for all the fans, I also feel for you. Just, I can't imagine how hard it is. You know, we play it off year after year. Well, this is coming, that's coming. This guy's made this move. This guy's, you know, this guy's got this on-base percentage, slugging, whatever. You hide behind numbers, but the reality is that the team hasn't made the playoffs since 93, and you've had to cover them since the early 2000s. It's been a long time. I can't imagine, you know, just what it's, the struggle that it's been to host this show, to have people call up and ask for answers year after year. And if you look at the clubs like Kansas City or Pittsburgh even, and you look for answers in their kind of ownership group or why these teams took so long to get to the playoffs, I honestly believe it's easier to find answers with those two teams than it is with the Blue Jays, weirdly enough. And I just wonder, I just want to hear what you think about, you know, when you sign off of this show and you have all these people calling in and being frustrated. What's your feeling about this team? You know, how long do you think it's going to take to get there, and what do you think they've got to do?
Well, first of all, thank you very much. You don't need to feel bad for me. I got a great gig, and I'm thrilled with it. I can't say it doesn't matter to me whether they win or lose. This is my town. I've lived here my whole life. This is the team I grew up with, and I did get to cover them when I was in university when they were winning. But since I've been sitting in this chair, there hasn't really been a pennant race save for last year. And last year, it was up until the last 2 weeks of the season, and then done with 2 weeks to go in the season. But you don't need to feel bad for me, because I haven't been covering a playoff team yet. I agree with you that it's been kind of mystifying as to how it's been so long. I mean, there are, you know, they fell right off the map after they won the World Series, and Dwayne Ward got hurt. That was a big deal. And after 95, when Alomar left and White left, and Olerud got traded and all of that stuff, you could explain those lean years. But then in like 98, 99, 2000, those were teams that should have been good enough. Then they built some really, really good teams in '06, '07, '08, but the Yankees and Red Sox were just stupid good, and they didn't have a, you know, no matter how good they were, nobody was going to touch them. And there's a reason why nobody but the Yankees and Orioles made the playoffs out of the AL East for a decade. And then when the division kind of became a little vulnerable, the Blue Jays weren't good enough for a few years. But the last three, they should have been good enough. And the AL East was there for the taking last year. They couldn't take it. It's there for the taking this year. And they're going to be 5.5 games out, which is not that bad considering how terribly they've been playing. But, yeah, it's, you know, I remember saying on this show years ago that if this team was in the AL Central, they probably would have made the playoffs 6 times in a 9 or 10-year span. But in the AL East, they didn't get a sniff. That's certainly not the case anymore as far as the division is concerned. And now, healthy, this team is capable of winning. But running out 3 big league regulars in the lineup, it's going to have a hard time, and we've seen that.
I appreciate you saying that. And, you know, I for all the people that call up and sort of give you trouble and ask for answers, the real truth of it is everybody just wants to see this team make a run. And I really hope they do at some point.
I think we all do. Thank you, Don. Appreciate the call. And I do believe that, you know, the frustration, the anger, people getting mad at me and stuff, it's all because Toronto, for one, we want to see a winner somewhere, some sport. And the Blue Jays have been the closest until the last couple of years of the Raptors. They've been the closest over the last little while, and they haven't been able to get the job done. And tonight was another rough one, but, I mean, there's no shame in losing to Felix Hernandez, especially in a one-run game with your fifth starter starting. They fall 4-3 to the Seattle Mariners. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will continue to take your calls. It is the Honda Post Game Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Josh Donaldson modeled his swing after Jose Bautista. Yeah, this season should be pretty fun. This is Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
That's going to do it for us here at Rogers Center as far as the network is concerned. But again, if you're on hold, stay on hold. We will continue our Blue Jays talk until 11 o'clock Eastern Time on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Again, we're not online during the duration of the MasterCard Memorial Cup, maybe the Stanley Cup final, the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. We'll keep you posted on that. But I'll send out the link a couple hour and a half or so after the show is done. And hopefully most of you can listen on Sportsnet 590 The Fan or on Rogers Digital Cable, Channel 904. Blue Jays lose it 4-3. To the Seattle Mariners. Elsewhere across the Major Leagues of Baseball, the Buffalo Bisons lose 3-2 to Toledo. Jose Reyes goes 1-for-3 with 2 walks. He's got a rehab game or 2 to go. Daniel Norris throws 88 pitches and lasts just 4 innings, walking the first 3 batters he faced. Wound up giving up 3 runs on 5 hits and striking out 3. Blue Jays and Mariners continue this series tomorrow. We are on the air at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time for the pregame show. For a 107 first pitch, it's Battle of Lefties, Mark Burley against James Paxton. You've been listening to Home Hardware, Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. For Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Jason Leung, and Frank Head, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center.
Take your phone yells after the game. Eat Blue Jays talk. Pick up the phone and yell into Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Line drive deep left field. Could be a score now. Back for it. The left field returns. There she goes. Number 11 for Encarnacion. And the Blue Jays are in flight here with the game's first hit and run, leading the Mariners 1-0.
There was the time the Blue Jays held the lead. 1-0 Edwin Encarnacion with that home run in the bottom of the first inning. And they stayed 1-0 until the third, when with two out and nobody on, the Blue Jays' real nemesis, Kyle Seager, got things going. I don't know how many times I've said when the Jays play the Mariners that you can't fight the Seager. But it happened again tonight. A little squib ground ball single to third base. Looked like it was going to go foul. Took a hard right turn off the weird turf and turned into an infield single. Then a walk to Wellington Castillo. And that's really the key in that inning. Wellington Castillo, who does not hit right-handed pitching well at all, brand new to the American League, and may have had a history with Estrada because he was with the Cubs and Estrada was with the Brewers. But Wellington Castillo is not a guy that you can walk on four pitches. And, in fact, he did it. Wow, he has a nice little history with Estrada. 6-for-21 lifetime with four home runs. So that's something. So you can, I guess you can see why Estrada would be a little shy with him. But walked him on four pitches. And then Logan Morrison, it's a line drive to right field. Should have been a game-tying single. Send Castillo up to second base. Instead, Chris Colabello tries to make a spectacular dive and catch. He was not close, and the ball got by him. Turns into a two-run triple. Mariners take the lead. Mike Zunino falls with a double down the line, and that's pretty much it. 3-1, the score there. It was 4-1 going into the bottom of the ninth, and the Blue Jays got a two-run homer from Colabello, who was 3-for-4. I don't know if that makes up for that play. Might have, but the two-run homer gets the Jays back to within a run. And they can't close the deal against Fernando Rodney. They lose 4-3 to the Seattle Mariners. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's go out to La Flèche, Saskatchewan. And Dale, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks, Mike. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
All right, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I've been following the Jays since they first came into the league. And I have a couple of questions that I wanted to throw out to you, and then I'll just get off the phone and listen to your response. Eh? I was excited with the game tonight. It was a good game. Of course, we came on the wrong end of it, but that's baseball. You know, anyways, the first question I wanted to ask you was to get your take on the fact that Bautista is still DHing and what it's doing with having smoke sitting on the bench all the time. I still think that if he had gone on to the DL earlier, he may be back in full form right now. Eh?
There's no way to know whether that's true or not, but if he had gone on the disabled list, you would have lost one of your most productive hitters for 15 days.
Yeah, but how much production has he given to the team is what my question is.
Very, very good.
You know, like he's had some hits and some walks and stuff like that, but 14 games without a home run and, well, actually more than 14.
No, I think it was 14.
You know, like I'm not gonna. I'm just gonna pose the questions, and then I'm gonna hang up and let you answer them afterwards. Eh?
Well, that's not fair.
Oh, okay. No, then I'll argue with you.
Yeah, I don't want you to argue with me. I just want you to understand the facts and you know be prepared.
Well, yeah,
to,
as
to
a fan, you know, like I don't have all the intricacies or anything like that about his shoulder and stuff like that.
I don't think it's about the intricacies of his shoulder. I think it's just about the production since he's moved to the DH spot. You know, since he's moved to the DH spot, going into tonight's game, he's hit .269, which is all right, but a .388 on base, which is incredible, and a .500 slugging percentage, which is really, really good. So he's been very, very good for the Blue Jays since he's been unable to play right field, which, you know, why would you want to lose that for 2 weeks in hoping that his shoulder gets better?
Well, Also, in the same regard, him DHing is putting Edwin into jeopardy playing first base every day.
Yeah, but well, I don't know if it's jeopardy. I mean,
well,
I prefer that he's
more
not
chance of him getting injured.
Yeah, and he hasn't, and he's been fine, and he's been hitting well. So it hasn't had a detrimental effect on Edwin yet at all.
No, I understand
but there's
that.
There's no argument to be made that you want Jose Bautista on the DL so you can get Justin Smoke in the lineup every day.
Well, no, it wasn't so much to get Justin Smoke into the lineup. It was get Edwin out of the off of the first base so that he could just DH.
But, again, Edwin's been very productive, hasn't cost them anything defensively at first base. Bautista's been extraordinarily productive as well. So there's really, again, no reasonable argument to be made that he shouldn't be playing.
Okay, can I ask you one question here? You probably got more access to this information than I do, but how many RBIs has Bautista had since he's been DHing as compared to...
It's completely irrelevant, but he's had 15 RBIs in 22 starts.
In 22, okay.
But RBIs are a factor of who's on base ahead of you, not you, right? Can't drive in, but he's also,
I'm not going to go into that aspect of it because I don't know all that. I don't have all the facts in front of me right now. So, anyways, the other thing I was going to say is that I'm liking the way the pitchers are starting to come around. Mm-hmm. They're going deeper.
Yeah, it's been a terrific turn through the rotation this time.
Yeah, and I'm liking our chances with Burley tomorrow, and was really happy with what we saw out of Dickey, his last outing, and I was very happy with what I saw out of Estrada.
Yeah, I'm with you, and it's been great to see.
My second question for you was going to be, what do you think is going on with Loop? Like, is he hurt or playing hurt or something of that nature? Because he doesn't seem to be the same.
He had a thing with his back in Houston, and I don't know that those things just go away completely. He was very good his last time out, Wednesday against the Angels, but really not good the two times before that. He kind of got nickel and dime to death one of the games in Houston, but he still faced four batters and they all scored, so you can't really do that. I don't know, maybe he's getting all the bad stuff out of the way early this year. He usually has 3-4 poor outings a season, and he's had four already this year, so one hopes that he'll be able to get it back on track and be able to be more like the guy he was in 2013 even, and be a really reliable arm in the back of the bullpen because they need him.
Anyway, thank you very much for taking my call, Mike.
Thank you, Dale.
I really appreciate it. And thank you for the information that you gave me on Bautista. I wasn't quite aware of his slugging percentage, so thank you for that.
There you go. That's what I'm here for. Appreciate the call. And remember, the Seattle Mariners have not been a good team this year. The Blue Jays just faced Felix Hernandez, and he's one of the best in the business. When Felix Hernandez doesn't pitch in a game for the Seattle Mariners this year, they're 11-21. So one hopes that even as shorthanded as they are, the Blue Jays will be able to take advantage of that over the next couple of games. Let's go to Jennifer in Toronto, he said with trepidation. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Goodness, my dear. Hello.
Hello.
A couple things I take away from this game. Estrada actually pitched quite well. That ball up third base, you know what I mean? It was like a lot of English on it. And overall, he pitched quite an impressive game, even though the line might not look like that. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I do. I'll take that outing from Marco Estrada every single time he pitches and be very, very happy.
Thing is, I don't agree with Gibby only waiting until tying run to put a pinch hitter in. I think he could have put Donaldson, Smoke, anyone for Kawasaki. You don't have to wait till, you know, get someone on base, get a double. But my third thing, and you're not going to like this, I'm checking out, and I'm not a stats queen. Bautista in the last 7 days is hitting 192. And then I checked when the team is behind, he's hitting 130 with four RBIs. most of his RBIs and most of his hitting coming when the team's ahead. Batista does not look right to me. A lot of balls to shortstop and third base. Like I said, I just got diagnosed with a rotator cuff. I can't lift my arm past my waist. If that's true with Batista, is it not possible? I mean, have you ever heard of a shoulder inflammation going on? I'm just saying he hasn't been that effective unless the game's out of hand.
Well, that's not true.
Watch. No.
It's not. I mean, first of all, I think you believe a lot more than I do that you can control when you get your hits. And the fact that you would say when they're ahead means the game's out of hand, that's certainly not true at all. I'm looking at Jose Bautista's stats, and in high leverage situations, he's hitting .316 with an .822 OPS, which is admittedly lower than his regular, but he's hitting .316, he's just not walking as much. And in games that are late and close, he's got an OPS of .1116. So I'm not seeing stats of team ahead, team behind. I'd actually like to. I'm not quite sure where you're getting those, but I'd love to take a look at them. But that hardly means, you know, they're way ahead. Here it is, ahead behind. Yeah, you're right. He's hitting .132 when the team is behind with a .314 on base, which is a heck of an isolated on base percentage. And when the team's ahead, .293 with an OPS over 1,000. But again, when the team's within a run, the OPS is over 900. Late and close, over 1,100. All these numbers come from really small samples that I don't think you can make a definitive argument about any of them 44 games into a season. Regardless, if the point is that the shoulder only hurts when the team's behind, that doesn't really make any sense.
No, I think they should be sitting and giving Smoke an opportunity. I have no understanding of not using Smoke tonight either or Donaldson for Kawasaki, Pilar. I mean, it was a dramatic replay, but that was a garbage punt.
It was within an eighth of an inch, I would say, of being a spectacular bunt.
It was an eighth of an inch of being a good dramatic slide, but it wasn't a properly executed bunt.
He might have bunted it a little bit too hard, but he almost beat it out, and that's what you're trying to do, right? He's really, really fast, so he can get away with a bunt that's not perfect. And that one, again, he was out by an eyelash, so I don't think you can criticize that one at all. Look, there's an argument to be made, sure, that Smoke should have pinch hit for Kawasaki in the bottom of the eighth inning with a runner on first. Absolutely. And I don't know if that was because Steve Tolleson's your only backup shortstop and you want to be able to pinch hit for Goins later. I'm not quite sure what it was, or if Gibby just has confidence in Kawasaki and putting the ball in play and staying out of the double play. It didn't work out. But I don't think there's any argument to be made to suggest that Justin Smoke should be playing over Jose Bautista.
Well, okay, we'll see. But I wouldn't be surprised if Bautista, given the nature of this injury, and they're so cryptic about it, he'll be another one on the DH. You know what I mean.
Yeah, the disabled list.
The DL pretty soon. He just doesn't look himself. Yeah, once in a while he hits into a
home
run, but he is not cashing in. He does not look himself. I don't know.
Well, here's what we know. He's hurt. So he's not going to look himself if he's hurt. But again, I'll point to it. An on-base percentage of .388 and a slugging percentage of .500 since he got hurt. Those are all-star numbers. So whether he looks himself or not, He's certainly producing. I appreciate the call. I got a lot of people I need to get to, and I need to get to the manager. John Gibbons, after the game, spoke of tonight's 4-3 loss by the Blue Jays to the Mariners, and here is what Gibby had to say.
It seemed like the big play of the game was Colabello's miscue in right field. How did you see it from where you were?
Well, yeah, ideally he plays that on hop, but, you know, the guy's trying to make a play. He knows we're facing a tough pitcher that night. He's trying to make a play, you know. So, hey, I like everything about what he's doing since he's been here. You know, he's given us a real big boost. So, but I definitely understand what he was doing.
I guess the outing for Hernandez kind of speaks for itself, but what did you see from Felix tonight and what made him so effective?
Well, I mean, really everything he always does. You know, he's got a good fastball. He's got a dynamite changeup. You know, he mixes in some breaking balls every now and then. He attacks. It's, and he'll let it fly, too, so it's not a comfortable at bat in there. So, but, I mean, he's one of the top in the game. He has been for years. A couple extra runs, you know, made a difference there late. But, hey, we battled back. We had a shot there, so... It's tough to beat guys like that. Psychologically, they know they're good, and it's a battle. We made a run at them late.
Given Mark Estrada finally got through, broke through that five-inning barrier, what do you think he did today that allowed him to turn over the lineup so many times so effectively?
Well, I mean, he was really good today. You know, he's pitching. You know, I mean, he's got that great changeup. I thought he was spotting his fastball really well. And he mixed in some breaking balls, you know. Got some key strikeouts. Got some, you know, he got some rollovers to second base from some left-handed hitters. He really did a hell of a job. We couldn't amount enough offense at that point early enough in the game. I mean, there's reasons why, of course. But, he pitched a good ball game. I mean, that's, you know, the thing that got that started was that kind of that little cue shot down the line there. Similar to what happened the other night in Calhoun, you know, in that one game against the Angels, you know, and maybe we'll get one of those tomorrow.
Gibby, I know you've said all along that, you know, your best hitters have green light 3-0. In that situation where Smoke was on deck representing the go-ahead run and Rodney was kind of not throwing strikes, would you have preferred if he had taken one more?
Well, I gave him the green light, so, yeah. I mean, those guys don't swing unless I give them the green light now. Yeah, I'm sure that decision will be debated, but, you know, he's up there. He's a home run hitter. That's what he does. I figure he falls behind 3-0. He's going to get a fastball. That's what he got. I think he might have tied him up a little bit. So, and we play in home run heaven, you know. Yeah, that'll be debated, but I wouldn't put it on if I didn't think he should do it. Did your producer ask you to ask that one too?
Hey, Gibby, in the eighth inning after that Goins walk, did you give any thought to having Justin Smoke pinch hit for Kawasaki, being as a former Mariner as well?
Well, we're waiting on, if one guy had been on when we get to Carrera, we're going to do that. But if he hit a double play, we're going to let them, you know, let it happen that way. And then just, you know, run through the end of the game and kind of set up the way it did tonight. So, I mean, at the end tonight. So he was out on deck for that reason. If he doesn't hit a double play, one guy on, he's hitting. And then if not, you know, hopefully Carrera gets on, sets it up for Batista and stuff. So.
And Carrera did get on, but Batista grounded out. And the Blue Jays got a two-run homer from Chris Colabello in the bottom of the ninth. But Kevin Pillar tried to get on with a bunt single, was tagged on the right foot as he slid by Logan Morrison, called safe on the field, overturned on replay. And then Josh Donaldson, the at-bat you heard a lot about there in that John Gibbons post-game scrum. Donaldson gets the 3-0 green light and just misses his pitch, flying out to center field to end the game. The Blue Jays fall 4-3 to the Seattle Mariners. Elsewhere, Mark Teixeira just hit a home run in the bottom of the ninth inning to get the Yankees back within a run. They trail the Rangers 10-9. This was a 7-0 Rangers lead at one point, and this was a 10-5 Rangers lead at one point. Ross Ohlendorf is out there trying to close it out for Texas and to prove to the entire world the closers really aren't that important, capital C closers. The Boston Red Sox are getting thumped 12-5 by the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. The other two AL East teams are winning or have won. Baltimore doubling up on Miami 8-4 in the top of the ninth. And Tampa Bay has already beaten Oakland 5-2. Blue Jays lose 4-3 to the Mariners. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Back to the phones we go. Jack is in Toronto. Hello, Jack.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just thought I'd say the obvious. We got beat by a very good pitcher.
Well, that's what generally happens. Well. Yeah.
Yes, yes, that's what happened.
Yep.
So, unfortunately, we need more pitchers like this fellow, whatever his name was.
Felix Hernandez?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, they definitely need more pitchers like that fellow.
Mm-hmm. But hopefully we'll start going uphill rather than downhill. That'd be nice for everyone.
That would be.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Succinct and clear. And, everything you said is 100% correct. Everything you said is 100% correct. The Blue Jays could use more pitchers like Felix Hernandez. I think every team in the major leagues would love to have more pitchers like Felix Hernandez. I have to say, just because I just noticed something on Twitter, that a fake Devin Travis account has 17,000 followers. Oh, no, wait, that's the real Devin Travis account. Never mind. There is a fake Devin Travis account out there. Make sure you don't get sucked in if you're a Twitterer. The real Devin Travis account is at DevoTrav, and it's got the blue check mark. The other one, I think, is Devin Travis 2B. So don't get sucked in. Peter in Mississauga, you're next on Blue Jays Talk.
Yeah, good day. I just got a quick question. Donaldson's been a great acquisition for the Jays.
Yep.
Do you think Anthopoulos? I really don't feel that they've addressed their problems going into this season. You know, they've not made any progression. You know, find the back catcher's better. And Martin's better behind. So Martin's better behind the plate, and the third base is obviously an improvement. But did they really make the right moves, or do you think they just sort of? I mean, what was the reasoning for these trades?
Well, first of all, anytime you have an opportunity to acquire Josh Donaldson, I think you have to do it. He's one of the best players in baseball. Whether you planned on getting him or trade falls into your lap or whether you've been chasing him for a couple of years like the Blue Jays have, if you ever get a chance to get him, you have to get him no matter what. And they did. And it was an excellent trade. As far as Russ Martin goes, I think that they looked at the pitching and they looked at the catching situation and they saw that they weren't going to be able to pull in the quality of free agent pitching that would have helped them in the offseason. And once they saw that that was going to happen, the next best thing to do was try to get one of the best catchers in the game who would hopefully have a positive impact on an entire pitching staff. And that's why I think they did that. I mean, you can't say that they could have taken the money that they spent on Russ Martin and gone and gotten an ace. That just wasn't going to happen. So they tried to be creative and inventive. And, we heard it a bunch of times from everybody that you can get one pitcher or you could get one guy to help 12 pitchers. Now, it hasn't quite worked out that way yet, though we'll never know what sort of role Russ Martin has in the success or failure of the pitching staff throughout the course of the season. Those are the unmeasurables and intangibles and whatever. But the Blue Jays thought he would help, and the Blue Jays knew they weren't going to be able to pull in any of the big-time free agent pitchers on the market.
And if you were Anthopoulos, I mean, if you were GM for a day or manager for a day, I mean, what would you try to do to make the Jays, better, right away?
I don't think there's anything you can do to make them better right away. There's no trade that's available to be made. I mean, there are. You could probably go get Kyle Loesch right now, but you're going to spend your entire financial war chest on Kyle Loesch, who is a crappy middle-of-the-rotation pitcher, who would certainly help this team the way it's pitching, but that means that you then can't go get anybody else at the deadline because you're not going to have the money. So I certainly wouldn't do that. Johnny Cueto's not available yet. None of the big free agent to be starting pitchers who are going to be talked about in the middle of July are available yet. There's no team that really wants to make a trade beyond Milwaukee, maybe Philadelphia. So I really don't think there's anything to do except look for internal solutions. And right now, the starting pitching is starting to improve. This turn through the rotation, everybody pitched well this trip through. All five of them had very good starts this trip through the rotation. So that's a wonderful sign. Now you're waiting for Jose Reyes to come back, which should happen Sunday or Monday. Devin Travis is out for another week and a half. You're waiting for the point in time at which Jose Bautista can get back on the field. And you go from there. But there is no quick fix for this team right now.
I mean, I don't think there's any guarantee that the Jays will be able to pick some up at the trade deadline anyway. So I think there's going to be a whole bunch of teams that are going to be bidding for ace.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Appreciate the call. I wish I had a better answer. But there is no quick fix on May the 22nd. The good news is they're only 5.5 games out of first place, as poorly as they've played over the course of the first quarter and a bit of the season. Zach is in Toronto. Hey, Zach.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
All right.
Just wanted to make a few comments about the game tonight. I was actually in attendance tonight, and just watching King Felix pitch is just something else. It's the command he has on the zone is just ridiculous, and watching him hit his spots and get ahead in counts is just so impressive. To watch someone like that on any given night is just ridiculous, to see a kind of guy like that pitch in person, especially, instead of just on TV, too.
Turns out he's really good, huh?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to also hear your comments on the Canadian kid going tomorrow, Paxton. What do you see as the potential being down the line?
I think that I've only seen him pitch once and not well towards the end of last season when there was something wrong with him and he was getting lit up. So I'm not in a position to comment on that. I like to save my declarations. I don't like to make many declarations as it is, but I like to save them for people that I'm actually really familiar with and have seen and have, or at least talked to a lot of people who have had him for a while and have seen him. The one time I saw him last year here, he just got smoked. The Blue Jays smacked him all over the yard, and he had 13 base runners and got 8 outs, and it was pretty awful. I know that obviously he was a first round pick twice. There are a lot of people who like him a lot and think that he can do some great things in this game, and I'm very excited to have another good young Canadian pitcher trying to make his way, and hopefully he'll have a wonderful career and he'll pitch a lot and win a lot of games for Canada at international events, and that would be awesome.
I was just curious if you had any thoughts on the Mariners' kind of slow start. What do you see there? Do you see them picking it up later in the season?
I think you should probably call Mariners talk if you want that answer. They're not a bad team. They've got certainly some issues. You have a first baseman who's really not a hitter. You have a catcher who's kind of an all or nothing guy at the plate. Brad Miller, Chris Taylor, Wellington Castillo don't really strike fear into anybody, but Smith's good, Cano's great, Cruz is great, and their pitching has the opportunity to be very, very good. So, you know, 45 games into a season is certainly not a time to be passing judgment on anybody. I don't think the Houston Astros are going to run away with the AL West by any means. So we shall see. The fun is in the watching.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right. Appreciate the call. We'll step aside, and when we come back, more of your phone calls. As the Blue Jays take out the Seattle Mariners, 4-3 is your final score. It is Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Get geared up with all new gear at BlueJays.com. Keep listening to Toronto Blue Jays Baseball. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Count is full to Mike Zunino, power-hitting young catcher for the Mariners. Check of the runner. Now another check. Here's the 3-2 pitch. It is strike three call. Zunino rung up Estrada's fifth strikeout, and he strands Logan Morrison at second base, but the Mariners get another on the home run by Nelson Cruz. And it was 4-1 Seattle going to the bottom of the sixth inning. Blue Jays would get a two-run homer from Chris Colabello in the bottom of the ninth, but that was as close as they could get. They lose 4-3. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Taking your phone calls to the top of the hour, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Twitter seems to be all a twooter right now because there is a report that Alex Anthopoulos was on his way to the Blue Jays clubhouse. He probably is, because he talks to John Gibbons after every game, often in person. I can't imagine this is anything to get excited about. Alex Anthopoulos is in the Blue Jays clubhouse all the time. A lot of people on Twitter seem to be getting very excited about that. And there's a minuscule chance that it is something. Certainly John Gibbons... Nothing happened tonight to warrant John Gibbons being fired by any means. Jose Reyes is working his way back into playing shape. He played shortstop for six innings last night and went 1-for-4 with the Buffalo Bisons. He DH'd tonight for the Bisons and went 1-for-3 with two walks in their 3-2 loss to Toledo. Ben Wagner, who is the fine play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bisons and whose voice you hear several times a year doing Bison's games right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, got us this audio. Here's what Jose Reyes had to say after his game today for the Bisons.
So did you accomplish everything you really wanted to do tonight, getting as many at-bats and plus the swings that you had on the left side?
Yeah, you know, I think I had enough swing, and the key was pain-free. So everything that I do so far is being pain-free, so that's what I want to see. I don't care about the resort, getting busy and stuff. I don't care about that. Yes, want to be pain-free and able to do what I want to do in the field.
You took a couple of different styles of swings, especially on a couple of the swings and misses. That looks like the most aggressive you've been.
It's no doubt. You know, sometimes I'm going to do some weird swing on home plate. You know, that's part of who I am. You know, but like I said, it's no sore, nothing. You know, yes. Let it all out on the field, man. I mean, I'm very happy the way that I feel right now.
What's the plan for tomorrow?
Play 9 inning at shortstop. And, you know, tomorrow's going to be my last game. Hopefully everything go well. And Monday I'll be in the major league. So helping my ball club.
There you go. Jose Reyes going to play 9 innings at shortstop tomorrow. And Monday will be in the major leagues. I guess there's a chance he comes back for Sunday. But I don't think much of a chance. The Blue Jays had kind of always said that it was going to be 3 games, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, for the Buffalo Bisons, and then up. I'm just trying to figure out and see if tomorrow, the chances are they're playing at night tomorrow, which make it even harder to get them here for a day game. But that was, I think, was always going to be the plan, was that he was going to play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and if all went well, take the day off Sunday and rejoin the team on Monday. And yeah, it is a night game in Toledo. Miguel Castro is going to start, actually, for the Bisons tomorrow night. So hopefully Jose Reyes will be back, activated off the DL for Monday's series opener as Chicago White Sox come to town. Blue Jays fall 4-3 to the Seattle Mariners. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Back to the phones and Scott in Barrie. Hello, Scott.
Michael, how are you doing?
I am not unwell, thank you.
Excellent, sir. Excellent. Just driving home from the game. Took my boy down to the game tonight and told him, enjoy watching a true ace at work in King Felix. And, boy, that guy's something special, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
I mean, just we were lucky enough to, in the sixth and seventh inning, sneak fairly close down behind the plate. And just watching that live, it's unreal, the action he's got and just the pure speed and power and dominance he has.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the all-timers.
Absolutely unreal. Two quick questions for you, Mike. One, I mean, all this nonsense on Twitter here, I'm seeing it too, about AA going down and talking with Gibby. I mean, the guy 100% does not deserve to be fired, especially with all these injuries. I worry for the guy because if the Jays continue to scuffle and scuttle around like they have, I just don't know how much longer he can keep his job. I mean, doesn't AA have to pull the trigger at some point, even though it's quite frankly not his fault?
I don't think so. I don't think Alex Anthopoulos will fire John Gibbons for, I think J.P. Ricciardi fired Gibby to, whether it was to save his job or to deflect attention from some things that were going on or whatever. I don't think Alex Anthopoulos will do that. I don't think Alex knows that his neck's on the line too, and it's not, I don't know quite how to phrase this. If he's not the general manager of a Major League Baseball team, he'll be just fine. And I think that he understands what a manager can control and what a manager can't control. And I doubt very much he's going to fire John Gibbons. I have a feeling if he's ordered to, and I can't imagine Paul Beeston would do that. But I would think that if they go together.
He's not going to be like JP. That guy's going to have another shot at it in Major League Baseball, given his age and given some. I mean, the Donaldson deal alone should give that guy, a get out of jail free card, so to speak, on this job. And I think certainly many other ball clubs around the majors would look to hire that guy if he ever does become available. So certainly don't think it's just they're a bit snake bitten with the injuries. Last question, Mike. I mean, I love Munenori as much as the next guy, but I mean, it's good news with Reyes. Sounds like he's coming back soon, but is there not, I mean, you're closer to the AAA than I am, and I haven't read up a lot on it recently. Is there not anyone else that we can bring up in a pinch start or a last minute when we need somebody? I mean, there's got to be somebody else, isn't there, down there?
Munenori Kawasaki is fine in small doses, and this is a small dose. He's probably only here for another couple of days and will likely go down when Reyes comes back. So I don't have a problem with it. If the choice is between him and Jonathan Diaz, and I don't think Diaz's 10 days are up anyway, though I'm not 100% sure. Kawasaki is a better hitter than Diaz. Diaz is a much, much, much better defender. I don't have a problem with Munenori Kawasaki. If he's here for a weekend, if he's here for 2 or 3 weeks, if he's here to be a backup and be like, you know, give the team a shot of energy for whatever that's worth, I don't have an issue with that at all. And again, he's probably only here for a couple of days.
Yeah, and I think that's fair, right? Especially, you know what, the guys that have come up this year from AAA, Goins and Cabrera, I mean, they've all done a pretty solid job. I just wonder, you know, hey, obviously, the coaches down there are doing something right, and I just wonder if maybe it's not time to, in these spot starts, maybe look at somebody else that maybe is maybe next in line and might give you a little more at the dish than Kawasaki's going to give you.
Yeah, I don't think that there is anyone. And it's interesting that you would credit the coaches for that. I would credit the players. You know, Carrera, Colabello, and Goins have all been in the major leagues before. They're all doing a good job. I don't know what that has to do with Gary Allinson and the coaching staff in Buffalo. It's the fact that the Blue Jays went out and acquired people either on waivers or as minor league free agents in the offseason who have played in the big leagues before, who have had a little bit of success at times in the big leagues before. And unfortunately, they're having to lean on them a little too much right now. But they're guys who aren't going to be overwhelmed by what goes on up here. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate the call. Let's go over to Steve in Toronto. Hello, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike.
Steve.
How are you? I've been waiting for a while. And one of the things, actually, many people who stole my thunder. I'm a big fan of Jose Bautista. Huge fan. Follow him all the time. The one stat that you're not talking about
yeah.
bothers me. Is and I, while listening, by the way, I have a few other questions. The one stat that I follow, of course, that you're not talking about is batting average.
Right.
219, Jose, is not an all-star this year. I just, there's something wrong. And that, actually, the nice lady about 10 callers before me, I think, touched on it. I think he's hurting a hell of a lot more than what we're all seeing. And I don't know, maybe it is time to sit him down. I don't like that batting average of 219. And
well, you know that when he got hurt,
yeah,
the batting average was 140.
Yeah, about 185 or something?
No, 140.
140.
Yeah, so it's 269 since he got hurt. More importantly, and I don't know why you would dismiss the more important numbers, the on-base percentage is 388, and the slugging percentage is 500. Both those numbers are certainly all-star level numbers. Don't get too hung up on batting average. It doesn't really tell you a story.
I liked the 285 last year. That's where I think he should be.
He's at 269 since he got hurt.
Well, I guess we're getting there, but 219 is a long way. The questions that I have, no one seems to be talking.
Hold on, though.
What?
I don't think you understand the point. Like, you're saying that there's something wrong with Bautista, which is why he's hitting 219. I'm trying to tell you that the 219 doesn't have anything to do with him being hurt, that in fact he has not been a 219 hitter since he got hurt. He's been much better than that.
269.
Right.
Okay. No, I'll give you that. Couple of things that have come to mind. What's going
to
happen when Reyes comes back? Who's going to go down?
Probably Kawasaki.
Okay. What about when Travis comes back?
Don't know. We're still a week and a half away. Many things could happen between now and then. So,
is there any talk at all, Mike, about when Deonor Navarro's coming back?
Nope.
Not at all?
Nope.
Isn't that it?
Not at all. And you know what? I think good for the Blue Jays, because if they say 2 weeks and it takes 2 weeks and 5 days, the fans go nuts. If they say 3 weeks and a guy has a setback and it takes 2 months, and the Blue Jays are lying to us about injuries again. So you're dealing with human beings. You have no idea what's going to happen. You have a historical, this is what this injury usually takes to come back from. But nobody's lying about injuries and lying about recovery time or anything like that. But that's the backlash the team has gotten. So I don't blame them for not giving timelines. I don't know if they know when Deonor Navarro is going to be back. But he'll get back when he'll get back, and that'll be, another good bat that this team will have off the bench to help him out.
And the last thing I'll say is I certainly hope that Gibby sticks on, because I like the way he manages. I'm tired of the city crapping all over this guy. I think he's a good manager. And he's doing what he can with the cards he's being dealt.
Agreed. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays lose it 4-3 to the Seattle Mariners tonight. Ashley in Toronto, you're next.
Hey, Mike, I really appreciate you taking my call.
All right, well, I appreciate you dialing me up.
I listen frequently, and I think the way you call the game as well is silky smooth, and maybe whenever Jerry Howarth retires, maybe they got a seat there for you.
Hey, that'd be pretty swell.
I don't think
Jerry's retiring, though.
No, I know, he's going to keep going.
Yep.
Also, I just wanted to briefly mention, we spoke briefly at a softball banquet tournament a league that I play in, as well as yourself, and so we spoke briefly at that, but I know you're a pretty famous guy in this town, so I don't expect you to remember me, But anyway, let's get to the meat and potatoes. I know you were talking about internal options, but, I mean, how about Scott Kazmir? And then that way, if you bring him in, he's not an ace, so he's not going to cost the entire farm. And then maybe then it solves two problems, because then you could put Sanchez in. You have a closer, and suddenly you're filling a lot of holes there. I think it might be an idea, Mike.
The problem with Scott Kazmir, first of all, Oakland's saying that they're not willing to trade just yet, but the problem with Scott Kazmir is about the same as the problem is with Kyle Loesch. He makes $13 million. So if the rumors are true that the Blue Jays have put aside somewhere between $6 and $8 million for an in-season war chest to make trades with, you're blowing it all on Scott Kazmir. And that's probably not the way to go. Like you said, he's not an ace. He had a very good year last year. He's having a solid year this year. But do you want it to be, that's it, Scott Kazmir, that's what you're getting for the rest of the year?
Okay, so then the last question would be, and I'll let you go. How about, what if we're doing, we figure out a way and we're treading water and we're in the battle and it's getting to be trade deadline time and then we take out the war chest.
Yep.
And what is the move? Just to add that piece, you know, that just puts us over the top. You know, can you talk hypothetically then, and I'll listen.
Yeah, you know, I hate talking hypothetically because really nobody knows what's going to be happening 2 months from now. But 2 months from now, that war chest is worth a lot more. Like $8 million right now gets you an $11 million player. $8 million at the trade deadline gets you $24 million worth of players. So, you know, if it's a starter and two relievers, or two starters, three relievers, or, you know, an outfielder, if the Batista thing keeps going and Michael Saunders doesn't come back well, it can buy you a lot more stuff July 22nd than it can on May 22nd. And one hopes that with regulars coming back and with the starting pitching beginning to improve, and again, full turn through the rotation, everybody was really good. Hopefully they'll still be this closer by the middle of July. Steve's in Bowmanville. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in.
I love Blue Jay Talk.
Thank you.
You're one of the sources I listen to every day.
Cool.
Speaking of Gibbons, hopefully nothing's happening there.
Nothing's happening.
But on the pitching front, I'd like your take on the fact that Cole Hamels has gone public today, saying that
Cole Hamels has not gone public.
Well, it's been reported on
yes.
a number of sites that he
right.
would accept a trade to the Blue Jays.
No, that he would not accept a trade to the Blue Jays. That certainly does not mean that Cole Hamels has gone public with those thoughts.
Well, it's a little early, but and I recognize they're not going to do anything in May or maybe early June, but what's your take on a possible fit there with Hamels and the Blue Jays for later in the year?
I don't know if you misunderstood, Steve. The reports that came out today suggested that Hamels will not waive his no-trade clause to be traded to the Blue Jays.
Not part.
Yeah, you missed the not. That's big, the not part.
Yeah.
That's kind of key to the whole thing.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad I got the info from you then. So
okay.
No Cole Hamels.
No Cole Hamels.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Yeah, and again, you know, it's been suggested that it would take a Jeff Hoffman and a Sanchez or a Stroman or a Norris. And the Blue Jays are not going to do that. And nor should they. Time for one more caller. Let's go to Dig in Mississauga. Dig, you're going to be the last one on Blue Jays Talk tonight. Make it good.
I'm going to do everything I can. First off, big Jays fan, I think we all know what the big problem is, pitching. I can talk about how bad it is or how mediocre it is, but honestly, I just want to talk to you about how to make it better. We all know what the problem is. They can hit a ball anytime they want. They cannot pitch.
Yeah, but that's not the problem anymore, Dig.
Oh, it's always, it can't be injuries. I've been watching the Jays forever, and for the last 5 years, I've always heard, oh, they're injured, oh, they're injured. Honestly, excuses are done. I love this team. I still think we can make the playoffs. Disappointing. Seattle is the kind of team we need to beat.
Yeah, but not Felix Hernandez. Come on.
92 wins this season to even make the wild card.
What?
Of course. These guys were competing 91, 92 games last year.
Yeah, no. 88 wins. 88 wins won the wild card last year. It may get it again this year. 84 might win the AL East the way it's going. But look at the last... look at the last turn through the Blue Jays starting rotation. Mark Burley throws a complete game in Houston, gives up 4 runs.
Agreed, sure.
Aaron Sanchez, 3 runs on 6 hits over 7 1/3. Drew Hutchison goes 2 out into the 7th, leaves with a 3-2 lead. R.A. Dickey threw a complete game last night. Marco Estrada, 7 strong innings tonight. The starting pitching's been just fine over the last turn through. Right, but I mean, it was bound to improve. It was bound to improve. Because, you know, I know a lot of people deluded themselves into thinking that Mark Burley was going to have an ERA of 5.5 and Drew Hutchison was going to have an ERA over 6 and Dickey's going to be over 5. But really, you had to know that that wasn't going to happen. And right now, the extremely sad fact of the matter is that they're running out a lineup every night that only has 3 or 4 major leaguers in it. That's the problem.
Agreed. Sure.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is you're going to come in. Typical story. This is not hypothetical. This is who the Jays are. They are a fantastic hitting team, and I'm a firm believer after 162 games, all the stats will show the kind of team you are.
Yep.
The Jays will be top 3 in the league for every offensive stat when it comes to hitting. Their pitching will let this team down. I'm happy for the last week. We all are, but it's a week. 45 games in, we still have a lot of baseball to play. We need to do something. Like, isn't Gallardo? I know Gallardo's available.
No, he's not.
Wasn't he next year? He's looking at a $14 million cap hit? I'm pretty sure he is. Yeah, for sure.
And we don't talk like that in baseball. But nobody's available right now. You know, like I said before, maybe Kyle Loesch is available. Cole Hamels is available, but he doesn't seem to be willing to come here. But that's really it right now. As much as we want, and as much as we feel like they need to improve the pitching staff, and it would be swell if they could, there are no quick fixes. There just aren't. I don't know. You know, there aren't any different ways for me to say it. And wanting it to happen isn't going to make it come true. There really are no quick fixes for this pitching staff. That's just the way baseball works. Those guys, if they're available, will be available later on in the summer. And you hope that the Blue Jays can keep treading water or at least play better until then. And again, the starting pitching has come around really, really nicely this trip through the rotation. Hopefully it will continue to do so because it needs to now support what is not as strong a hitting team as it should be, but one that is slowly but surely getting better. Jose Reyes will probably be back on Monday. Who knows when Jose Bautista will be able to move out into the field. That's going to do it for us. Blue Jays talk was lovely. I'm sorry again that we couldn't stream it online, but we will have a link for you out on my Twitter handle at Wilderness590 sometime in the next hour and a half or so. And we'll do this again tomorrow, 12:30 Eastern, a 107 first pitch. It'll be Mark Burley against James Paxton in a battle of lefties. And with lefties, the Blue Jays have a fighting chance because all of a sudden, a team that doesn't have a lot of big leaguers has Chris Colabello and Danny Valencia and Steve Tolleson, all of whom hit lefties really well. So that'll be lovely. Join us at 12:30 for a 107 first pitch. Thanks to Tom Young, to Jason Leung, no relation, and to Frank Head. I'm Mike Wilner. We'll see you tomorrow.